It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com. and the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. I bet that's what Todd Davison wants to say every time he sees an illegal dump site, right?
Right.
We're not going to take it anymore.
That's right.
I liked your choice of music, by the way. We'll get to that during the break, the bumper music that you want to hear. So, all right, Todd Davison is here. He's the Chief of Parks Law Enforcement and the Erase Coordinator for Mojave County. Before we get to the acronyms and what ERASE means, right? I know we have a listener in the office, as a matter of fact, who's dying to know what that acronym means. It's probably making her crazy at this point. But anyway, from District 4 County Supervisor Gene Bishop, this message comes as Mojave County District 4 is hosting a countywide community meeting, and that is on May 25th. That's a Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. I just got this from the County Communications Director, Roger Galloway. It's in the County Admin Building Auditorium, which is where the supervisors' meetings are, and on YouTube. It will be there live. They're going to talk about our waterways and related recreation challenges, starting with Lake Mead. That's specifically South Cove and Temple Bar, downriver to Lake Mojave, and finally a look at how this might affect Lake Havasu. The Bureau of Reclamation will give a basic overview and then discuss the reduced flows to Lake Mead regarding hydropower generation needs that have affected water releases from Lake Powell. So in other words, Lake Powell's being held back a little bit. They're not releasing any more water because otherwise they'll deadpool and there will be no power generation there, which affects about 7 million people from what I understand. So understanding that water level that has dropped in Lake Mead will drastically and will continue to drop. National Park Service will discuss the short-range plan and the long-term plan should this drought continue. Again, it's Wednesday, May 25th, 5:30, County Admin Building Auditorium or the Supervisor's Auditorium, and it'll be live on YouTube. So if you want to go to YouTube and look for Mojave County, you can go to subscribe and just click on that red button, and when that meeting comes up, you'll be automatically notified. Now, we got a little update to this as well, Todd, because Supervisor Bishop is currently in Alaska, but she's going to call in to Speak Out on Thursday and talk about this issue and this meeting that's coming up.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's going to be an excellent show, and that'll be Thursday at 11:30. Brian Springberg will not be here on Thursday, so County Supervisor Gene Bishop from District 4 we'll call in at 11:30 on Thursday to talk about this very important water issue. So, anyway, Todd Davison is here, and the ERACE coordinator, E-R-A-C-E, what does that stand for?
Yes, so that's Environmental Rural Area Cleanup Enforcement. And you can tell why we needed an acronym for that one.
Okay, does that fit on a business card with Chief of Parks Law enforcement?
It's a lot, but it does fit, and you can still read it.
Right, right, right. So that also includes, what, Davis Camp? Is that Sarah Park as well?
Yeah, so ERASE covers the whole county, but we do have park rangers under the law enforcement that are at Davis Camp and Hualapai Mountain Park.
Hualapai Mountain Park, because Sarah Park belongs to the city. Right.
Right.
I get it. Okay. So what we want to talk about today is, well, not only the illegal dump sites, and have you been encountering them lately?
Yes, it's just an ongoing issue. The water obviously is very important, our water issues, but on land we still find dump sites out there, and it's probably one of those things that it's never going to completely go away, because we have new people coming in that are going to continue to dump, and it's just one of those things. We just need to stay on it, keep staying after the prosecution, and keep cleaning up so that we don't end up with the broken window effect where, you know, people see the litter out there and want to just keep dumping.
It becomes a new normal.
Right.
I see what you mean by the broken window effect. It never really gets fixed, right?
Yeah, and they see that, and they'll break another window, add more trash, that kind of thing. So.
That's an interesting analogy. I'd never had it put that way. So one of the more interesting busts lately, help me out with this one, I think was Dolan Springs area. Was that real big, I think you called it like a mega dump or something like that? And you actually, it was almost CSI-like the way you found the perpetrators for that.
Right, yeah. A lot of times we'll have to dig through the refuge and find layers of trash and hopefully find some evidence mixed in there. And sometimes it's not a lot that we have to go on. So there is an investigative process to it.
What are your biggest challenges right now with the department? Is it finding people? Do you have volunteers that work with you as well?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One is the people, and that's true with almost all law enforcement across the United States, trying to get enough staff. So we are fully staffed at 9, our law enforcement. The ERASE department, we could have up to 4. So we are looking for people that want to do this kind of work and help us go after these dumpers.
I can verify he's law enforcement, folks. He has a sidearm, right? What do you carry, 9?
We're carrying 45s, but we are moving to the 9s is the plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
You ever have to use it, though?
Luckily, not a lot.
Oh, that's
no,
great.
Most people are pretty compliant once we contact them, but you always have that element of the public that, for whatever reason, maybe they don't like law enforcement or whatever.
Tell me how that process works. Obviously, you're not out there with drones or anything. Oh, there's a site, there's a site, there's a site. People report this, correctly?
Correct? Yeah, that's right. So, because there might be only, could be only one or two of us working out in the field during a day, and that's for the entire county. So we have a lot of area to cover. So without help from the public, we're probably not going to find all those dump sites, even if we go out and patrol that area, which we do when we have time to do it. We have computers that we can take out with us and do reports out in the field so that we can we have unmarked vehicles. We have things to help us with that part of it, but the public is very important with notifying us, and that's why we do have a reward program.
You do?
Where, yeah, if we are given information that leads to successful prosecution, we do have a reward that we give out, and we have given that out several times.
So obviously we're not talking about something right off the main road. You're finding dump sites in very remote locations. And they're getting reported by people who do exploring, I would imagine.
Correct, yeah. The people that are just out using our desert to do whatever fun activities they do. Sometimes it's somebody walking a dog, or other times in a side-by-side. But, yeah, it's always amazing the lengths people would go to drive to get away from people to try to dump their stuff when they could have spent the same amount of gas and less wear and tear on their vehicle and just gone to the landfill. And our landfills are all very reasonable priced.
What's your staff consist of? How many people?
So on the ERASE side, which is really what we're talking about, we're going to end up with 4 at some point. But right now I've got 2 detectives that are out in the field, And I'm also out in the field when I can, but I wear a lot of admin hats as well. So, we really don't have a lot of people. And I know that's true with a lot of departments, and it's not really a complaint or excuse. We're out there doing the best we can with what we have, but it would be nice if we can get our positions filled that were already approved by the board.
So, two people in the field, yourself doing probably pushing a lot of the paperwork and being out in the field. You've got Kingman, you've got the Butler area, you've got Mojave Valley, you've got Fort Mojave, Topoc, Bullhead City, and, well, the surrounding area of that, the county area.
Yes.
And then the surrounding area of Havasu.
And don't forget
and
the
Yucca.
Strip. Don't forget the Strip, too.
And,
that's ours as well.
Parker,
so.
I mean, the not the Parker, I'm sorry, the Colorado.
Yeah,
Colorado
so the
City.
Scenic and all those areas up there, yeah. Those are ours as well. So anything in the county.
Yeah.
And not only is it county property, but it could be private property. It could be BLM. We do assist them. We have state land. So there's a lot of land to cover.
So that begs the question, then, with such a limited staff, when does it become under your purview? Not just a few tree what do you call it? Tree trimmings out in the desert. I imagine it has to be a relatively good sized dump site for you to get involved.
Well,
or is that true?
We'll pretty much take any size dump site that somebody wants to report to us, but the ones that lead to prosecution generally are ones that more household trash is involved, because then we have evidence. When we get just, let's say, a sofa or mattress or something like that, generally there's not a lot of evidence to follow up on unless somebody saw something.
I've seen rusted cars in that, but household trash, really?
Yeah, and it's amazing because, again, the landfill isn't that expensive out here compared to other states, so people will spend more gas. We've had people break down a couple of times trying to dump their trash out in the desert when they could have just gone to the landfill, gotten rid of it.
Are you still getting help from that group in Golden Valley?
We are. Yeah, the cactus cleaners are they're still very instrumental in us keeping the areas clean, because obviously with our staff, we've got enough to help with some cleanups and do investigations. But as far as being out there all the time cleaning things up, like the cactus cleaners, there's just I don't know that we could keep the desert as good as it is without them. As a matter of fact, I know we couldn't. So
right,
they're
right.
Important.
I'd like to give out our number. It's 928-854-KNTR. 928-854-5687. If you'd like to talk to Todd Davison, he is the Chief of Parks Law Enforcement, and right now, more importantly, the Erase Coordinator. So you're the guy who coordinates those desert cleanups, which, man, I don't envy you at all, especially with a staff, it's including you, of three people. So you eventually want to get up to four or five?
Yeah, fully staffed for Erase would be four. So, yeah. So if we can get at least one more for Erase, and then we need at least one more ranger for Davis Camp.
What are some of the ramifications environmentally for things that are left unchecked? Like if it takes 2-3 years for you to find a site, what are some of the irreparable damage that can result?
Probably the biggest one right off the top of my head would be the damage to wildlife. And especially with ranchers, I've had more than one tell me that they've had a calf die because of litter that they eat, because they'll just eat anything, and right. If it's on the ground, so I'd say wildlife is probably the biggest thing that's affected, but there's other things too. People use the desert, people ride in roadways, and unfortunately our people who litter aren't really concerned with other people, so they'll sometimes dump right on a trail, and they'll try to hide it in a dip. So if you're on a quad, if you're on some kind of vehicle, you could potentially run into some serious hazards with the trash that they leave out there.
I'm shaking my head. I'm thinking of car batteries mm-hmm. that break down
yeah.
and go into somebody's well, or corrosive things like, you know, motor oil, things like that.
Absolutely. Or go into the air there's a lot of things that litter does out there in the desert that isn't good.
So if it's not in a great location to get to access, how in the world do you get it out?
Yeah, so there's a couple of tow companies with regards to vehicles that have been very helpful in getting some really tough tows. When it's other types of litter, we've got some special vehicles and trailers that we'll utilize, and all my detectives drive four-wheel drive trucks, so all of that helps.
Yeah, it helps, but it's still a lot of work, and meanwhile, the dumping goes on.
Right.
Which is just, I don't want to get off on this rant right now, because I know you'll endorse it. Right. All right. We're talking again with Todd Davison. He is the Chief of Parks Law Enforcement and the Erase Coordinator for Mojave County. Later on in the show, towards the bottom of the hour or after the bottom of the hour break, we'll have Sarah Colbert and another guest coming in talking about the Red Light Rebellion. That's in each city, so I should say rebellions. They're probably in the lobby already waiting for their chance to shout out to the world what the Red Light Rebellion is all about. All right, so this is one of your anthems, right?
Yes.
Green Day, When I Come Around.
Yeah, because eventually we'll come around if you keep dumping in the desert.
That's great. All right, we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. All right, welcome to Speak Out. Music by request of Todd Davison. Believe it or not, he likes Green Day. Well, I like the message in the song, Todd. Our meaning of American Idiot today is a little bit different, right?
Right, yeah, about don't be the idiot that's dumping out in our desert.
Yeah, I mean, why would you? Folks, it makes no sense. Anyway, I mean, it's just pure laziness, if you ask me, right?
Yeah, laziness and just no respect for the environment or other people either.
Right, absolutely. All right, we've got a phone call coming in, but I want to remind people first that Speak Out is brought to you by the team at Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, and by Springberg Wealth Management. Just a reminder, the Real Estate Power Hour, boom, is tomorrow with Mojave Mortgage. And they've got a new name. It's the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake. I almost gave out the old name. That would not have been good, Todd. All right. Let's take a phone call. And, caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, I've got a couple questions. You know, like here in Lake Havasu, you pay your trash bill no matter what every month. You know, you're living in a house, you're paying trash. That's not happening in the county, obviously. And why isn't it? Why don't they just bill everybody out there every month? Maybe not what we pay here. Because maybe they gonna send trash trucks out in the Tules, but you know, something, and then have a place where people can take their trash to, maybe a transfer station, and take it from there or something like that. And also, how much of this trash do you think is by homeowners, or is it people that they like contract to for, you know, cleanup of yards or roofing material, you know, all these businesses, instead of going to the dump, just take it out in the desert. And that's your answer on my radio.
All right. Thank you, sir. He makes a good point, though. You know, if you don't have Hargis Disposal or another trash service in the county, what do they do?
Yeah, he's absolutely right. There is no trash service that services the entire county, and part of that is because of the remoteness that some of the county areas are at. It's just the regular trash service doesn't work. But this is something that I know the supervisors have wrestled with some different ideas, and one of them that was passed was the property owners to be responsible for the trash. So that at least helps with the rentals, so they make sure that they're basically responsible for any trash that's generated on that property that they own. As far as the transfer stations, that's something that was looked into, and I think cost was just a big issue. But outside companies, I think it was something that if an outside company wanted to do that, I don't think anybody would stand in their way. So that's that part of it. With regards to the type of litter out there, we do see pretty much all of what you described. We have some of the trash are from the actual homeowners. We do have construction debris. And again, there's really no excuse. If you're a company that's servicing somebody, you should already have a system in place for getting rid of your trash, whether it's using a roll-off dumpster. That should be part of your plan. And actually, if you are a contractor of sorts, or if you're anyone who gets paid to do a job, it automatically becomes a felony.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that makes it from misdemeanor to felony if you're paid to do a job and it ends up out in the desert.
Yeah, I could get into the minutiae here and say that, you know, there's people with an acre and a quarter that put it on their property as well, on their own property. But anyway, I digress. We talked about, and we have about 3 minutes, the difference between felony and misdemeanor, and then I want to get to this 5-day notice program that you have.
Okay. Yeah, so the difference between a misdemeanor and felony, like I said, one is the financial aspect. So if anybody's paid for any type of work and then it's littered out in the desert, it can be a felony for that reason. The other reason is weight. If it's more than a few hundred pounds, then it automatically becomes a felony. So those are kind of the two things that make it a felony from a misdemeanor. And then with regards to the other thing you mentioned, the 5-day notice, mm-hmm. that was something that was created a long time ago, I believe back in maybe even 2002, before ERASE was even formed. We have the ability to go after the generator of the trash. So that's the person that created the trash. So when we go out to a dump site, we look for evidence. If we can find the suspect, we're always going to go after the prosecution. That's always our goal, is the prosecution. We're law enforcement. But if there isn't that evidence of who dumped it, we'll go after the generator. And what we do is we give them a 5-day notice that essentially gives them 5 days to clean it up. If it's through mail, they're given a couple extra days for the mail. But if they don't clean it up, now they're responsible for it, and then we can charge them with a dumping crime.
Great. No questions asked. All right, we have one more phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Just a suggestion. If you're going by a construction site or yard cleanup site and there's no dumpster there, where are they going to – you got to – think that maybe they're going to be taking that trash to an illicit place. Just a suggestion. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Again. Isn't that required by law, though, if you have a construction site?
Yeah, there are certain rules with regards to having dumpsters at your site. But I know on some jobs they will temporarily leave it on maybe a lot next door or somewhere on that same lot.
Yeah.
But certainly if somebody, we do get calls like that from the public. If they call us and tell us about something they want us to check out, we'll go check it out.
All right. How can people report, or volunteer? Is that the same number?
Yes. It's our main number, which is 928-715-0480.
Okay, there you go. You can call ERASE and report an illegal dump site or somebody that you know might be regularly getting rid of the trash on their property and dumping it out in the desert.
Right.
That's just no bueno.
No, sorry. It's not.
That's just not good. All right, Todd, I always appreciate it when you come in. Our time is so short. I guess I got to get you in here for an hour one of these days.
It goes by so fast.
Right. Thanks so much for driving down, coming to see us.
Yeah, thank you.
In the Speak Out kitchen, of course. The kitchen with no sink. That's how you got to remember. The full fridge, but no sink. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. We're going to have the folks from Red Light Rebellions on Speak Out when we come back from this break. Thanks, Tom.
Remembering all the times you fought with me, I'm surprised it got so. Things aren't the way they were before. You wouldn't even recognize me anymore. Not that you knew me back then, but it all comes back to me in the end. You kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Our next guests are in the studio, and we'll talk about a subject near and dear to their heart, Red Light Rebellion, after we tell you about our Speak Out sponsors, the show brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And don't forget, love where you live, shop local, right? Shop local. And I like the other one, buy local or buy local. You guys like that?
I like that.
Is it first time on the radio?
Second.
Was it on this show?
It was not.
Okay. I won't press you then. All right. So we have Sarah Colbert. She is the Special Programs Coordinator for Juvenile Court.
Yes, Juvenile Probation.
Juvenile Probation. And Natalie Eggers, who's the Deputy Director of Juvenile Court.
That's correct.
All right. Excellent. So tell me about Red Light Rebellion.
So Red Light Rebellion is a nonprofit organization out of Phoenix. They specialize in prevention, education, and awareness of sex trafficking.
Okay, so this is going on, Natalie, in all three cities?
That's correct, and that's starting tonight.
Starting tonight? Where tonight?
Kingman.
In Kingman.
Yes.
Okay, so who are we targeting to go to this event tonight? And then you obviously have one in Bullhead and Lake Havasu City, correct?
Yes, we do. And so each city has two events. One is for youth first, 13 and up. And then the second event shortly following the youth presentation will be for adults.
Okay, so what does that presentation entail?
So really it's just education and awareness, just for those that really don't know what sex trafficking is, maybe, or aren't sure that they know the full definition. How do you look for it? What do you do when you find it? That kind of thing.
How, Sarah, tell me, you know, you guys are on the front lines of this issue. And a lot of people go, well, you know, we live in small town, rural America. That doesn't affect us. Are they wrong?
They are wrong. It is happening in every city in Mojave County. We do see it on a regular basis with juvenile probation. And it's something that's becoming more and more of an issue as we come out of the pandemic from social media, more computer use, those kind of things.
Okay, you say every city in Mojave County, even the smaller communities then. Is that because it's easier to hide here? Why do you suppose that is? I'm not asking for your scientific evidence or anything like that. Why do you suppose that is?
Right. Well, so in Kingman, for example, we're located right where I-40 and Future Corridor 11 meet. And so that's just a trafficking dream right there. We can have girls that can easily be gone to Vegas, Phoenix, you know, all the way. We've actually picked up our girls in New Orleans, in Houston, out in California. And so, I mean, it's just major thoroughfares right here that it's really easy for girls to be trafficked and sent to different locations from here.
Wait a minute. So you're talking about girls that are from here?
Yes.
That you picked up in Houston and other areas farther away?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that your office that is active in this, or are we talking? I don't know. How are you involved in that process?
So, if we already have involvement with a probationer and they're trafficked, that's what we see, and then we end up having to fly there and get them and bring them back and give them the services that they need. But kind of going back before, also, I think it depends on the definition. Because you think of trafficking as like the movie Taken, and that they are just like kidnapped off the street. But that's not really what we're seeing in Mojave County. The definition of trafficking here would be usually like that older boyfriend that is over 18 and is kind of like a Romeo. They're called a Romeo pimp. And
really?
Hey, yeah. And just, I love you, I can buy you this, I can provide for you. They prey on those vulnerabilities and convince them that they can give them a better life. But the definition of trafficking is exchanging sex for anything of value with someone over 18. So that makes it very broad that anytime they need food, clothing, shelter, and they're exchanging sex, they meet the definition of trafficking.
Are we talking about primarily girls, or are boys involved too?
Both.
I'm talking about trafficked, not the traffic curve.
Both on both sides. So there can be male and female traffickers as well as victims. And we know that they prey on vulnerabilities. So whatever youth are putting out there, like, oh, you know, my parents really ticked me off, and they put that on social media, people prey off that, and they, oh, you know, I can help you, or my parents did too, let me help you through that. And then they create that relationship that's essentially grooming them.
Yeah, so in other words, be careful what your kids are putting on social media.
Absolutely.
Or that, then they become, you know, they show that vulnerability.
Yes.
And so are we talking about kids from primarily, I don't want to say broken homes, but are we talking about kids from all types of homes?
We are. You know, again, Natalie mentioned they prey on those vulnerabilities. And so if you come from a broken home, or if you have some instabilities in the home, maybe there's some substance use, some domestic violence, those kind of things in your home, you are more likely to experience different things because of those vulnerabilities. And those are what the traffickers are preying on. You know, our kids put everything online, everything. And, you know, they'll post pictures, they'll, you know, try to get some of that positive image, things like that from social media. And so these traffickers can send hundreds and hundreds of messages a day just trying to hope that one of those girls might reach back out to them. And we do say the term girls, but like you mentioned, we do have male victims as well. It's just not as prevalent, I think, for a few reasons. I don't think it's reported as often as females, just because of some of the stigma that goes with that.
So just as a newscaster, when I see, and I see a lot of stories about young people, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, not so much this area, but if I'm doing state news, I'll see that reported runaway that's typically 13 to 17 years old. It's normally a girl. She's wearing makeup. She's wearing whatever. And they show, you know, picture of a girl who looks like she comes from a good home. Is that to assume that she might be involved in something like that, if she's a runaway especially?
So there's a statistic that we like to throw out in our trainings that 1 in 4 youth will be trafficked within 72 hours of running away. And so when you think about that, even if, you know, someone that you know has just run away for, you know, a day here and there, it happens, you know, even put together homes get, that think they have it all together, get kids that, you know, have a tiff with mom, or just, I'm going to run away, and it might only be for a day, but how do they meet those needs? How do they get the food they need, the clothing they need? And so it definitely increases your vulnerability.
Yeah, you have those periods as a parent where you might have, you know, imposed some discipline that was, especially the older they get, you know, from, I would say, from 12, 13 on. So, I don't know. If you have a question, folks, give us a call, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And we're talking about Red Light Rebellion with Sarah Colbert and Natalie Eggers. And they're from Mojave County Juvenile Court?
Yes.
Okay. So, tell me about the rebellion itself. When we talked just briefly about it already. What is the message then? And we're talking about two different age groups here, right?
Well, we are, in the fact that sex trafficking, minor victims of sex trafficking, are under 18. And all you need is that exchange of sex for something of value to be a victim. If you are over 18, you need force, fraud, or coercion in that exchange to be considered a trafficking victim. And so we can go in more of that in a bit. But the rebellion is really to bring awareness. You know, the age of entry into sex trafficking in Arizona dropped below the national average, which is 14, to 13. And so, you know, with that age being so low, we can't wait on spreading prevention and awareness. And so that is really what Red Light Rebellion is about. They're a young couple who have gone to some of these kind of information trainings and just really wanted to be advocates for the program. And so they started Red Light Rebellion, and they come in and they're energetic and they're pumped and they play the loud music and they relate to the kids and they talk about the warning signs and things to look out for, things to watch out for online. They talk about grooming and what that means and how to make sure you're not being groomed, and how to keep an eye on your friends as well.
Yeah, what kid doesn't want a new iPhone that mom or dad couldn't get them, right? What
right.
kid doesn't want that jewelry or bling that mom or dad couldn't get? Are there warning signs out there, too, that might already be happening to some of these kids and the parents haven't seen it? Maybe they can't see it because they're working nights or, you know, have two jobs, that or three jobs, that kind of thing? Is that common to where there are some of the warning signs are being met? In other words, that might be ripe for trafficking.
Right, absolutely.
Does that happen?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely some of the warning signs, and again, this doesn't mean that if somebody has two cell phones that they're automatically a victim of trafficking. However, that is one of the warning signs.
You just opened up a whole new topic.
I did.
Anyway, go ahead.
You know, maybe they have new fancy clothes and new shoes and their nails are done up nice, but you know that they don't have money for that. Where's that coming from? Maybe they have hotel keys. They, of course, those look like credit cards now, but, you know, maybe they have multiple of those. Perhaps even they have some tattoos out there. It's not uncommon for traffickers or pimps to brand the girls that they're trafficking. And so there's some different things out there to be aware of, and that's something that definitely Red Light Rebellion at our community events are going to go into detail on, is really looking at what those warning signs are and how to pick those out and really see what that might mean.
Wow. This is just such a deep subject. So tonight is Kingman.
Mm-hmm.
Location and time and all that.
Absolutely. Tonight is Kingman at the Board of Supervisors Auditorium right there on Andy Devine. We have our youth event from 4 to 5 p.m., and then we have an adult event specified more towards the parents and adults, teaching them how to look for warning signs from 5:30 to 7 p.m. We're also going to have lots of vendor tables set up, different agencies in the county that have resources to help people that may be victims of trafficking or have other needs so that they can help spread awareness on what they offer as well.
Let's talk about Bullhead City and Lake Havasu City, of course.
Absolutely. So we'll be in Havasu tomorrow night. We're going to be at Mojave Community College, room 600. And so the youth event will be from 5 to 6 tomorrow night in Havasu, and the parent event will be from 6:30 to 8. And we'll have vendors there as well with information. And then we're going to wrap up our tour on Thursday night with Bullhead City. Again, Mojave Community College, room 600.
The big room.
Yes, absolutely. We're expecting lots of people.
Right.
So that Bullhead event, the youth will be from 5:30 to 6:30. And the adult event will be 6:30 to 8.
Interesting. So I've heard the PSAs in that on the air. And what if there's the kid that doesn't bring the parent or vice versa, the parent that doesn't bring the child? You're expecting both to show up, correct?
Absolutely. That would be great. And bring your neighbor and your cousin and your friends. But if for some reason you're a youth and your parent can't come, that's okay. The youth time frame is geared for age 13 and to 18. And so it will be appropriate even if a parent's not there. And we've had some questions, can parents come with the kids to that one? And that's fine, too. Although we do encourage the parents to stay for the adult one because there'll be some different information geared specifically towards them.
So, I mean, I went to a human trafficking presentation from Metro Police in Laughlin. It was many years ago, too. And this is like 5-6 years later that we're still having this conversation. Is there an end in sight, and where is the prevention?
So I think it always takes some time for, you know, the rest of us to catch up to laws and that kind of thing. So in 2000 is when we first, with the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, defined what trafficking looks like, especially for minors. And in 2015, the Administrative Office of the Courts really caught up and said, hey, we need each community in each county to be working on this and to have a specific liaison, which is where I came into play. And so Sarah and I have been working on this for 7+ years, and we're still here trying to spread awareness. And so it takes time for everything to kind of catch up to the laws and create awareness and make sure that people are aware. And so I think that's just part of it, is that it just takes time to get people involved.
You bring up an interesting point, because the time factor, I mean, we see a lot of this in Las Vegas, obviously, a lot of this in the Phoenix metro area, but now they're starting to hide out, like we said earlier, in the rural areas as well. So now it's becoming a problem, you know, in the flyover counties, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So what are the penalties that those people are looking at that might be involved in human trafficking?
You know, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly how many years, Sarah might remember, but Arizona did convict a trafficker for the most years ever. I think it was like 144 consecutive life terms, something that is absolutely awesome, but, you know, they're not going to get out of prison. But but catching them and getting all the evidence and getting everything to line up is difficult.
Are there enough people to do that? On your end, are you understaffed?
That's a great question.
Thank
you.
I know Todd is. When we were talking about, you know, dump site cleanup and that, he's vastly overstaffed. We're talking about three people in charge of the whole county, including the Colorado Strip, you know?
Right. So probation's role isn't really to investigate or arrest. That would be law enforcement. But probation, once we have a person on probation or even a family, we can still work with those family members to identify them as victims, get them the services that they need. But we're not really doing like the investigating or the charging. Would be a county attorney.
Sure.
But yes, we are always hiring. We're hiring at our juvenile detention facility right now and at our probation department.
Are you looking for social workers as well?
Well, I would say probation work is social work, mixed with law enforcement,
right.
So yes.
Right. I would imagine that your degrees are probably related to that very closely,
yes.
Right? So what is the average age right now that you're seeing coming through your office from those people who are affected by this topic?
I would say it falls right in line with the state average of about 14.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so we see victims from all age. Probation can serve as young as 8 years old, up to 19 now if they're in extended jurisdiction. So we've seen all of those ages trafficked.
Do you have a list of warning signs that you want to talk about for parents that you might be able to, or do you have that list in your head that you can give out that here's something, this may throw up a red flag to that parent who's listening to Speak Out right now, either on the road or via the internet, you know, or at home, just wondering, what am I going to do with this child?
Absolutely. So, you know, just to throw out some statistics that, where we see some of the more vulnerabilities. In Arizona, the identified victims of sex trafficking, 75% of them at some point in their life had contact with a DCS. That doesn't mean that they had were taken away. It just means at some point in their life, they had contact with the Department of Child Safety.
Wow.
We found that Arizona victims who have been trafficked, one out of four of them are involved in special ed. Again, that makes sense when we think about the fact that they prey on vulnerabilities. And so that happens to be a vulnerability for a child.
And special ed doesn't necessarily mean a learning disability. It means they might have been held back a grade or and are going through different classes than their peers.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, 55% of survivors of trafficking report that they attended school at some point while they were being trafficked. And so that's a really good catch point to look for. We've gone in and educated some teachers and some students alike. But if the kids are falling asleep in school, right? I mean, what are they doing all night? And of course, they don't have time to do their homework or sleep or things like that. So if they're falling behind in school, again, it doesn't mean that they're victims of trafficking, but it could be that that's a reason. And so that's something to look for. Older friends, older boyfriends, older friends that you don't know. Again, those expensive clothing items or nails done all the time or hair extensions and, you know, where did you get the money to pay for that?
Older as in allowing your 16-year-old to date a 21-year-old?
Yes, absolutely. That would definitely be a lead into trafficking.
Right. Is that common?
Unfortunately,
it is.
Is
it really? Because
yes.
I just saw a story of a 21-year-old who's in jail now for dating a 16-year-old. But then I thought, well, where were the parents?
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I think sometimes the kids also think, you know, well, if my parents gave me permission, it's okay. I can date him. He's 21. It's okay that I'm 14. And it's absolutely not okay. And, you know, the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, when it was ratified in 2016, it took away that force, fraud, or coercion and just said anyone under the age of 18 exchanging sex for anything of value is a victim of trafficking. That Trafficking Victims Protection Act version said that juveniles under 18 cannot consent to sexual activity.
Yeah, I got you. So let's give out the dates and times again for all three red light rebellions.
Okay, so today we're in Kingman. That's the 17th. Board of Supervisors Auditorium, youth from 4 to 5, and adults from 5:30 to 7. Tomorrow, the 18th, we're going to be in Havasu at Community College, room 600, youth from 5 to 6, and adults from 6:30 to 8. And then Thursday, we'll be in Bullhead at the Community College, room 600, youth from 5:30 to 6:30, and adults from 6:30 to 8.
Is this like a rally atmosphere then?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, it is like they do a call to action at the end, and they get everybody just revved up.
That sounds like, it actually sounds like a lot of fun, but a serious topic nonetheless.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Wow, what an important topic. Thanks for coming in, Sarah Colbert and Natalie Eggers. We really appreciate it bringing, there's so much more information we could cover on this topic. So don't be a stranger. I'll have to get you back on the program. We'll get some updates on what's happening throughout the county with regard to human trafficking.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. All right, I'll come back with a final shot in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. All right, folks, don't forget, over on our sister station, KNTR Sports, the Diamondbacks with two games today. I was corrected, it's not a doubleheader, but it is a doubleheader. It's a twi-night doubleheader. 12:10 start time on game one and 7:10 on game two, and that's at Chavez Ravine, the L.A. Dodgers, who beat the Diamondbacks last night. So, all right, there'll be a game two and three today, starting at 12:10 on KNTR Sports. And don't forget, tomorrow is the Real Estate Power Hour. Boom! With Chad Hansen, of course, from Mojave Mortgage, and Bobby Lewis. And hopefully Julie Lewis will come in as well from Remax by the Lake. That's the Lewis team. And then on Thursday, we've got Vet Center Coordinator Stacy Lee. That's the brand new Vet Center here in Lake Havasu City. And we'll have District 4 County Supervisor Gene Bishop as well, talking about that water seminar, the discussion that they're going to have on the 25th, and then Go Lake Havasu and Mike Bonney, GDK LLC, coming in on Friday. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin, heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.